balanced approach to the concept of person and personality development. By way of introduction, I might mention that there is so much talked about nowadays about development of the person. Everybody seems to be in the process of development. Books on the subject, articles, conferences, symposia, and seminars. Some of what we read in here is very good. Some is not so good. And even though the subject may seem to be a little academic, it is really very practical to understand just what is a person, what is personality, and how do we, in our own lives and in directing the lives of others, help ourselves and them to develop their personality. I will first talk about the meaning of person and then move into personality development, even though the two subjects will overlap. As we approach the subject, let's first of all make sure that our source of information is not only human reason or human psychology, but also divine revelation and faith. Otherwise, we can develop personality all right, but it can be a humanistic, secularistic development and not one based on faith. Between the two words, person and personality, person is the reality. Personality is the idea that we have of a person. Persons exist outside of our minds. Personality is people's understanding of person. We might say that personality is only the abstract notion of what a person is supposed to be. Depending on our correct idea of person, our attitude toward personality development will be shaped accordingly. And the first thing to ask yourselves as you read or hear someone talking about personality development, the first thing to ask is, what does this person understand by person? We said there are two possible sources of understanding of what a person is. One, our natural, unaided reason, and the other, divine revelation. Let me take each in turn. And as we move into this, begin to make applications to growth in or development of personality. What's the evidence from reason? I might first of all insert a warning that when we talk about person as known from reason, we are talking about person in the Judeo-Christian world, and not about person as understood from reason outside of the Christian Western world. Except that I've been teaching the Oriental religions for over 20 years. It probably would not even have occurred to me to distinguish between two kinds of reason leading us to an understanding of what person is. There is an understanding of reason about what a person is in a culture that has already been shaped by Christianity. Let me tell you, the notion of person in the Oriental, non-Christian world is very, very different. 25 years ago, we'd hardly have to even mention this. We would say, the East is East and the West is West, and never the twain shall meet. But, at least in the last quarter century, Eastern ideas, Oriental, non-Christian ideas, Hindu, Buddhist, have deeply penetrated the Western world and have caused incalculable confusion. Just one word regarding this Oriental, non-Christian notion of person. In that world, which by the way is the majority of the human race in terms of numbers, a person is either a mere illusion called Maya, that's spelled M-A-Y-A, or person is part of an endless cycle of reincarnations called Samsara, S-A-M-S-A-R-A. Or person is somehow identified with the absolute called Brahman. In the first case, person does not really exist. The most prominent religion in the Western world that has been deeply infected by this first notion of person in the Oriental world is, you'd never guess, Christian Science, where there are no persons, individual persons are said to be an illusion. Or, if person is part of the endless cycle of reincarnations, if when we apparently die, and we, if it's still we, become someone or something else, clearly person has a totally different meaning for what we understand person to be. Once I am I, we hold, even by reason, I remain I, always, but not in the Oriental world. If there were thousands, Buddha, for example, thought he had 100,000 reincarnations before he came on the scene. Now, what person are we talking about? Or, if person is part of the ocean of that absolute being that we would call God, if there is no real distinction between Brahman, which is the Sanskrit for the absolute or God, and the Atman, who is the ego, there's no real distinction. Clearly, person has a meaning that we accept to hear these words simply. Don't accept. And if as great a man as Thomas Merton could be seduced by the Oriental notion of person, then I would say no one is safe. I just say that in order to make sure that we are talking about, even from reason, the concept of person in the Western world that has been enlightened by the light of Christ. Now we get...
Father, where does their enlightenment come from?
Where is what?
Where does their enlightenment come from? Our enlightenment comes from revelation from God. Where does their...
Where do their ideas come from?
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it devilation?
Their ideas came from inside of their minds.
It's just a natural...
In other words, it's speculation now for 4,000 years. And they keep repeating each other that this is their faith. At any rate, we put that on the side to make sure that we're talking about person known from reason, but in the Western world. First, a definition of person. A person is an individual, rational being. Clearly, we're talking here from reason about human persons. The nature of a person is, of course, human. This is reason. But he is a person because, and insofar as he is an individual, our nature answers to the question of what are we? Being persons answers to the question of who are we? The nature identifies our essence. We are human. Person identifies an individual who has this human nature. So that the unique quality of being a person is being an individual. How individual are we as persons? In five different ways. All of this we are relying on reason. First, a person is an individual because he or she is separate. So the word separate. Each of us is separate from other individuals, which is perfectly clear from the fact that we all have our own separate bodies. There's an edge to me and there's a beginning of you. We cannot even occupy the same space. That's why we allow people to pass, even though they're on the wrong side of the street. Because we are persons. First quality, therefore, of being a person is to be an individual, meaning each is separate. Or to use a verb, separated. Second, because we are persons, we are different. The second quality, therefore, of being a person is that a person is different. Different from whom? Different from other individuals. And not just different from other individuals, but different from all other individuals. Third, each of us, because we are a person, is distinctive from other persons. It is not just different. Like, for example, I have 10 pennies in front of me. Well, each of those 10 pennies is separate from the other and different from the other, because penny one is not penny two. But those pennies are not really distinctive because they're all pennies. But we sure are distinctive because each one has his or her own characteristics, temperament. Each of us has his or her own qualities. And when we don't like the qualities of somebody else, we say behind, of course, the person's back, "Oh, she's a character." But each is distinctive. Fourth, each one is autonomous, meaning that each one has activities that are truly his or her own and not someone else's. Each person is, as we say, personally responsible for his own human actions, and correspondingly the object of his own specific personal rights and privileges. You might call this personality in action. We not only are different, we act differently. And differently in such a way that no two of us act quite in the same way. Lastly, as a kind of synthesis of all these qualities, each person is simply unique. There is only one such person, whoever he is, and no other. And this uniqueness, as the wisdom of human philosophy has taught, is partly determined by each person's ancestry. Each of us had our father and our mother. Each of us conceived and born at a different place, different time. Each of us, since our conception and birth, had our own distinctive experience, all of which adds up to making us very unique. But before we leave this, our personality is also produced by our now lifetime of deliberate choices. Our own, by now, thousands of consciously free actions. We are now what we are, not only because from the first moment of existence, God made us different, but we have contributed to our distinctiveness by the decisions we've made and have been shaped accordingly. So much for the meaning of person as known to reason. I hope you don't think I'm spending too much time on a clear understanding of what person means. We now move in to ask, what is the evidence from Christian revelation? When Christianity came along, it did not deny or exclude any of the foregoing elements. What a person is, which have been accumulated over the centuries by the great minds like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. But divine revelation added an understanding of person or personality that the human mind by itself would never have conceived. How did revelation develop our understanding of person or personality in two ways? First, by clarifying the meaning of individuality, making it much clearer than reason could do what we mean by an individual, who therefore is a person. And secondly, revelation has amplified, added to our understanding of individuality beyond anything ever known, even among the ancient Jews. We now understand what a person is, both as an individual and in the qualities that revelation has added to the notion of a person, beyond what we would ever have known from reason. Now we keep asking ourselves, what did Christian revelation do to make more clear the meaning of individuality, of what constitutes an individual, which is after all at the heart of a person? Revelation tells us that each of us is an individual from the first moment of our human existence. We'd never figure this out from reason. That we are individuals from the moment of our conception in our mother's womb. Because the church tells us that God specially creates each person his own unique and separate soul. Each of us is different from the first moment of our earthly existence in the womb of our mother. In other words, God is not only the original author of human nature, He is. At the moment a child is conceived, the author of every single and distinct human person. No two of us were the same. From the moment God separately, distinctly created each soul. From this it follows that in the basic sense of the term, there is no such thing as becoming a person. Just for the record, the book is still in print. The author by the name of Walter M. Bjorski. He worked with the Chancery, and he came out with a very popular book on personality development called Becoming a Person. He later on proceeded, he amassed a fortune in selling this book. He later on decided to leave the priesthood. He died, and sadly, he died without the sacraments. But his writings go on, and they're widely used in Catholic educational programs throughout the country. In other words, we don't become persons, we are persons. From the moment God creates our souls and infuses those souls into the body, we are therefore persons from the instant that God's eternity, when He decided to create, which means make out of nothing, our own and no one else's immortal spirit, and infuse it, which is the Latin for pours it into, the bodies prepared for infusion by our human parents. We are still on the level of clarification. Christianity tells its followers that this spirit, once created, is to remain itself for all eternity. We will never cease to be we. The person can be mutilated and vitiated or improved and elevated. But absolutely speaking, there is no such thing ever as ceasing to be ourselves. Once we are brought into being, our personality will never cease to be. So much about clarifying the meaning, now adding or amplifying the concept of person and personality. What did Christianity do to add, not note now clarify, but add to our understanding of person? It added three dimensions that can be expressed in three words, and they are the foundation of all Christian training, from children before the age of reason, out through school, for those who enter the religious life, in their spiritual formation.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.